don't listen to anyone's advice. Listen to your gut. Listen to yourself. I wish someone would tell me that a long time ago.
What's going on? You're listening to episode 103 of the Perspective Podcast, and I'm your host, Scotty Russell of Perspective Collective. This show is fuel for your mind and your creative grind. Each week, my guests and I provide you the tools to find your voice, overcome adversity, and make an impact with your work. I'm all about building community, so at the end of each episode, I share the love and plug a listener of the week. Stick around to the end to figure out how you can get a shout out on a future episode. Originally, when I recorded this, I didn't have any announcements, but once I found this out, I had to jump on. I had to tell you real quick. Otherwise, I feel I'd be doing you a disservice. So, leading up to Black Friday, Retro Supply is having a whopping 50% off Black Friday sale that actually goes through next Tuesday. And I'm talking about getting 50% off of the I Want It All Illustrator, Photoshop, and Procreate bundle packs. You know, some of those are like $100, so 50% off. There's also texture bundles, and the dopest item of them all, if you're a lettering junkie like me, is the Lettering Library Mega Bundle packed with 125 PDFs of rare vintage lettering books compiled by my homie Jason Karn. This thing is absolutely insane. Seriously, some of the rarest books out there. He spent thousands and like tens of thousands of dollars to accumulate these books, and he's combined them and scanned them all into this PDF. Normally this PDF's $197 to reference, but you can get it for only $50. Like, that's insane. Take advantage of these savings by going to my link, my personal link, bit.ly/retrosupplyscotty. And that's bit.ly/retrosupplyscotty. Or easier, if you follow me on Instagram, it's the first link in my bio at my Perspective Podcast or Perspective Collective profiles. And make sure you use the promo BlackFriday50. If there's something that you've been eyeing, this is the best time of year to buy going into the holidays. For me, I took advantage of all their Procreate stuff last year, and it's massively elevated my game, and I'm getting more into like the Illustrator stuff again. I've kind of let that slide, and I'm jumping back in with this I Want It All Illustrator bundle kit. Again, don't sleep on this. It goes Friday through Tuesday. Use my link bit.ly/retrosupplyscotty and promo code BlackFriday50. Jump on it. Don't wait. Get after it. Thank me later. In my opinion, being a creative is the greatest gift I've ever been given. At the same time, though, being a creative can also be a curse. And if you're like me, we tend to be overthinkers, constant self-doubters, and highly critical of ourselves and our abilities. Add in the pressures of building a brand on social media and the comparison that comes with it, and it's no wonder why so many of us creatives struggle with mental health conditions. It's hard enough to live with depression and anxiety or deal with disorders and addictions every day, but often it's harder to open up and talk about it while maintaining the drive to create a fun and fruitful future doing what you love. Opening up about your struggles opens you up to being put under a microscope. I feel when we do open up about our story and the adversity that comes with it, it makes us more human and gives others permission to embrace their imperfect story. Cue today's guest, Ari Westy, an independent lettering artist and art director out of Minneapolis, Minnesota. What's up? We're neighbors. No big deal. But Ari's also a force with tactile and food lettering. She's crushed projects for some of the biggest brands in the world, like Walmart, Polo Ralph Lauren, General Mills, and Yoplait, to name a few. Ari has an incredible story filled with humility, and she's not afraid to open up about the ups and downs of your creative career. So sit back, get comfortable, because on today's episode, Ari and I get super deep into topics like dealing with the inner critic in comparison, the dark side of social media and mental health, the roller coaster world of freelance and pricing, taking yourself serious and going with your gut, and finally, she got a new dog, aka Kyle the Puppers, we talk about as well. This one's going to hit home with you no matter where you are in your creative grind. You can find the show notes to today's episode packed with Ari's work at perspective-collective.com/103. Let me know what you think of today's episode. Take a screenshot or share a video of what you think, or share a video of you working to the podcast. Tag me on Instagram and I'll share it on my stories, Perspective Podcast. Let's connect. I've been loving doing this with you guys. You're listening to episode 103 with Ari Westy. Let's go. What's going on, everybody? Today, I'm joined by Ari Westy. Ari, welcome to the show. Thanks for being on the Perspective Podcast. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me. This is kind of like a little dream come true, because I've been listening to your podcast for a long time. And sometimes it's like it helps me get through those moments where I'm coming to an impasse between like my creativity and my mental health. And then when I listen to the podcast, it's like, okay, let's do this. And I usually do it while I'm working out. So it's like a nice pairing.
That's great. I love when people actually like don't listen when it's only creating, but like the workout and fitness, because this is like mindset, not just for your creative career, but for lifestyle in general. And you and me, is for people who don't know, we're kind of in this little mastermind Slack group. So you and me have gone back and forth between some of these things we struggle with. Depression and anxiety, and we're going to get to that stuff. Especially, I think we're going to really, you know, rip open the Band-Aid on this one, which is I'm stoked for. But for those who don't know, can you give us a brief Wikipedia page summary about yourself?
Oh, man. Well, I originally went to school for dietetics. So I was a science and math kid, and then realized that I was just doing that for my parents. And so I looked back into what I actually, like who I was as a kid. Realized I was a creative person. And so I literally just Googled creative careers that make money. And I found graphic design, because I knew that's what my parents would want to hear. Well, does it make money? Can you make a career out of it? And so I found graphic design. I looked at all the different roles that I could have within advertising. I was like, yep, I could do all of those. It sounds good. No idea what I was getting myself into. Found myself in UX eventually. And then realized that wasn't for me either. That was just like a blend of like trying to make my parents happy and me happy. And then I left my UX job to be a letterer, essentially. I mean, it's a little bit more complicated than that. But since then, I've worked with a lot of General Mills brands. So Cheerios, Yoplait, Betty Crocker, their cereal line. And then after I got done working with General Mills brands, I moved into working with Polo, which has been the most recent project with them.
And
the
just
last
so people
year.
Know, you're full-time you, right? You do your thing full-time as a freelancer.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's kind of been a rocky road too, because I haven't really officially told myself that I was a freelancer until this like past couple months. So a couple months ago, I was like, you know what? No, I'm doing this full-time. This is not just the thing that's going to make ends meet until I can find another job or just a temporary solution. So thanks to my agent for that. He was like, Ari, what are you doing? You need to actually decide, because you're never going to succeed at anything if you're wishy-washy, if you're trying to, you know, like straddle the fence.
That's like things, especially in previous episodes before that we're recording in the future, is big things of like speaking yourself into existence and embracing your identity and who you are and who you're trying to be. So, I mean, that's who you are. I'm gonna brag you up real quick. So in the group, you were talking about this crazy rush project with Walmart. And it just so happens I was scrolling one day on my Instagram feed and you're just waiting for this project to be released and it pops up as a sponsored ad and here's your work all moving in front of me. And you know, that's pretty cool. So you are a full-time freelancer working with the big clients. And I just don't think your mindset and reality are all intertwined in embracing this.
No. Yeah. That's definitely been a huge problem for me. Imposter syndrome is my biggest enemy. And I know that at least now.
You mentioned imposter syndrome, which I talk about a lot here as well. Do you think that was probably one of your biggest obstacles that still maybe holds you back from believing in the abilities of what you're actually capable of doing? Because I feel like you're crushing it. And I feel like you haven't even scratched the surface yet.
So when you say that, like everything inside me screams like, no, you're wrong. Like you don't know.
That inner critic.
Like you have no idea like how unsuccessful and how dumb I am. That's what my brain says. I know it's not true. And at least I know I'm aware of it now. But Yeah, it's like even this morning I woke up and I was like, you know what? I should just get a normal job like everyone else. And which it's totally like, it's totally fine to have a normal job.
Yeah, because I have a day job, you know?
It's just a different kind of hard. And sometimes I think about going back to that, but then I'm like, no, it's only been a couple months of me telling myself that I'm actually doing this. I have to give myself more time. It's just, it's really hard on the day to day to look at my finances and be like, yeah, I'm 28 and I don't have savings and I don't have, you know, investments. Like I am literally living day to day and I'm trying to make my dream work, which is really tough. But I feel like I just started to do that because I wasn't really even aware of where I was at and what I was capable of until just recently.
So what would you technically call yourself? Like your tactile lettering artist?
I've landed on independent lettering artist. And depending on who I'm talking to, I'll just say art director.
And you have an umbrella under that that would lead to like food typography or dimensional type or anything like that.
Yeah, because lettering, that's an easy blanket term for a lot of people. And if I'm talking to people that aren't in the industry, I'll just tell them that I'm an illustrator. Because that's like basically what I do for the most part. But then they see me with a camera and they're like, oh, but you're a photographer. It's like, yeah, I use photography as a method of documenting my work. And then they ask, well, how, like, well, you're an illustrator, so how does that work? And then kind of, yeah. So it depends on who I'm talking to. But usually with advertising people, I'll tell them I'm a lettering artist. And in the case of Walmart project, I was an art director on that, but then I also was in execution.
Before you had representation with an agent and you made the full-time freelance leap in the first place, like how did you handle inquiries and stuff? Did most things come through your website? Did it come through your curated Instagram accounts? Or how did you handle inquiries, pricing, pitching? You know, how do you handle that before you had, because a lot of people don't have representation and they can't relate.
So Matthew, if you're listening to this, you are a blessing and a curse having an agent, because they do a lot for you, which is really great. But you also, like, I've stopped learning in that aspect of handling inquiries and project managing, pricing and negotiating. He handles all that stuff, which is great because then I can focus on my work. But before he showed up, it was a lot of work. I was working, when I was busy, I'd be working 80-hour weeks, but because half, like, you have to work full-time just finding work and meeting with people and sending out pitches. And yeah, it's a lot of work, but I don't have to do as much of that anymore, which it's like, it's great, but it's also making me a little lazy. And I've noticed that because I just don't have to deal with it.
I mean, that makes total sense. I mean, focus on your strengths in a sense. Like,
yeah,
I totally get it. But when you did have to, what was kind of like your baseline for pricing projects? Did you do, was it kind of like a, your base private hourly rate times, you know, supplies on top of like quoted projected hours on top of the value you provide? You know, you didn't do hourly pricing, right? These are like the nitty gritty details that I know people want to know. Cause so many people are like, how much do you charge hourly? I'm like, I don't.
Yeah. So whenever, cause I get people asking me through Instagram too, like how do I price this project or what do I do? And usually they'll ask like a really general question of like, how do I,
how much to charge for a logo?
Yeah. How do I charge for a logo? And I'm like, you need to tell me all of these things. So it's all dependent on who it is, where it's going to live. And you have to know yourself and how long you're going to take on it and how much you usually charge per hour. So I would, when I was pricing things myself, I would base it off of my hourly rate that I have for myself.
And you don't share that with anybody. That's your business.
Yeah. And so I have my own hourly rate and I figure out how much this project is going to take me. And then I kind of build out different packages based on that knowledge that I have of myself.
So you don't just shoot them one, here's one and done, take it or leave it.
Yeah, no, no. Oh, every time I've done that, it's never.
It doesn't
stopped.
Work that
yeah,
well.
It doesn't work.
And then you're just like, shit, I didn't handle that very well, did I?
Yeah, you always want to give them like the option that you want to do. And then sandwich it with the two others that, or more. So like you use the other two to support the right.
Yes.
The right choice in quotes, you know, like they're not.
I like the sandwich metaphor. That's a great way to put it.
Yeah. Cause it just, it shows them what the other alternatives are and makes them realize, oh, well, this is the best option. Even if you were just to send that over as it was, they might be thinking, well, what else could we do? So if you show them what else you could do, then they see that you've done the work, one, so they trust you more, that you're going to go the extra mile for them. It's a really small thing, but, and they might not even realize that consciously, that now, like, oh, this person's really, like, they're not just sending me one quote, they're going through the work and figuring out what else they could do for me and not just what I told them.
Let's use a project for example, Ralph Lauren lettering project that you did. You know, you kind of shared a lot of behind the scenes. How does a process go for like that with working on the project and presenting your mocks?
Oh my gosh. So I've been really lucky with that client because I work with one person, one art director, and he's very easy to work with. And we're very collaborative. He'll send me images that he's been working on with internally, mood boarding, and we'll just talk it out on the phone. We'll text. And because we worked on so many projects together over the course of the year, it's become more casual. And whenever we have a new thing, it's just like, hey, what do you think for this? But at first, so this is where it gets kind of tricky because that was the first project that I brought an agent on. And so the reason I brought an agent on is actually Joseph Alessio. He works with Matthew. And at the time I was working full time with Yoplait, and I got this inquiry for a one piece with Polo. And I was like, I don't even know how to begin with this. I've never done retail, never done fashion. I don't know like usage for this type of thing because it's a temporary signage piece. I don't know. So I was like, hey, Joseph, can I borrow your agent for this one project? And he's like, yeah, sure. Here's his number. And I call him up and he's like, okay, so give me the download on what it is. And he's like, actually, you know what? They want one piece. We're going to pitch 10 phrases or 30 words. We're going to get them to sign on to a package. And he's very confident and just like tells me like, this is what we're going to do, even though he hasn't talked to them yet. Like, okay.
That's
He's like,
awesome.
No, you're gonna get a package. And I'm like, oh, awesome. And so he pitches it to them saying, hey, well, instead of just doing one for this price, I think it was like he pitched it for like $4,000 for the one phrase as like a, cause they wanted to just do one phrase to test me out to see if it would work out. And then he's like, well, if you do just the one, it'll be $4,000. But if you do this package, it'll be $2,000 per piece.
I appreciate you throwing numbers out here right now. That's what people want.
Well, it's important. People need to know like how much these things go for.
Appreciate the transparency.
Yeah, of course. I wish I had that when I was starting out because I got screwed over so many times because I didn't know.
That's why you're here. You're very transparent.
Yeah. Yeah. So he was like, well, instead of, because even if he wouldn't have pitched $4,000 for the first one, he pitched it higher so that to show value for the other ones so we could do to incentivize the package. And so, and he knew that things weren't going so well with Yoplait, and I was like, there was restructuring going on at General Mills. And I was like, I think I might be getting let go because I'm a contractor and it's like the first, you know, the first rung of people to go.
I'm in corporate world. I get it.
Yeah. So I was like, I think I might be losing my job and I don't know what I'm going to do next because this is my bread and butter. This like really big contract that I had with them. So I was really nervous and he's like, well, you know what, let's pitch a package so that we'll have them pay up front.
The whole thing, 100%.
Yeah. So like, we're just going to have them pay up front so that you'll have a nugget to live off of if you do lose your job. And then you'll just have work to like keep yourself busy. If you don't have work, you'll have stuff to do with Polo.
Dope.
In the meantime, I'm like, perfect. And now that all those projects are completed, and this is the whole plan from the beginning, was get this chunk of work together so that I can start moving into retail. There are more like quicker projects, like the temporary signage things that I was doing for Polo. There's more stuff like that.
Seasonal. There's always something new.
Yeah, because
needed.
It's fashion. So like the fashion is just like always churning out new stuff. And it's lower paying than what I was doing with food, but it's more frequent. And it's just more like what I want to do. I want to do more 2D lettering too. So it was like, awesome. Let's do retail. And so that's where we're at right now, because all of the pieces have been completed with Polo. And I just redid their denim line. So that'll be up for, they paid for a 2-year usage.
Usage. Cool.
But I don't know if it'll be up for 2 years, but that was just to like, you know, make sure that they had enough.
So before you had that relationship established, just from a presenting point of view, is it important for you not to just post shit in JPEGs in an email, but to package it up in a nice PDF, kind of walk them through it, and then even use mock-ups even on like storefronts or this and that? Like, is that...
I really wish I was that person.
How do you do it? Because it's different from everyone.
Oh my gosh. Like, I want to be that person. That's what I'm working towards now. I went to the Hood Sisters workshop here in Minneapolis, and I was like, okay, I got to get my shit together because they are killing it. And they have these like beautiful presentations and they have beautiful photography. And I was sitting in this workshop and I was like, what am I doing? I'm a photographer. I can take beautiful case study images. Why am I not doing that? Why am I going the lazy route and just like, well, this is the photo I took for my social media, so here it is, you know? So, and even with like process, like, this is my first time after being in their workshop. I was like, I'm going to go home and I'm going to make this beautiful case study for this denim project. Going through the whole process of how I like, cause it was a 2-week project and they wanted all of their denim like rebranded essentially, which 2 weeks is not enough, but we made it work. Or I guess I made it work. I say we, cause I'm used to working on a team and then yeah. Here I am by myself. I'm like, we, it just like sounds more official when I say we, I guess. But yeah, I realized that like I live in this beautiful space too. I live in an artist loft with like exposed brick and vaulted ceilings. And like I have this great location. Why not go through the entire process of how I made this thing and show off how sexy it is?
Yeah. I think attending a workshop like this, like the more you start taking yourself serious, because you're working with way bigger clients than I ever had. So in the outside looking in, I take you pretty fucking serious. So you have like the workspace set up, like it sounds like you're just ready to go into 2019 to elevate your craft.
Yeah, for sure. And like when I was thinking about moving to Denver, I was looking at all these apartments and it hit me that what I have here in Minneapolis is like the best I could ever get, especially for the price, because it's artist loft. So, yeah, I was just trying to find a place that compared to what I currently have and I couldn't find it. So when I came back home, I was like, I love my apartment. I have all these amazing things that people wish they had, especially creatives, like trying to make beautiful images for their website or, you know, case studies and stuff like that. So I was like, why am I not taking advantage of this? So yeah, I'm like, I have this renewed sense of appreciation for where I live and the city I live in.
It shows the importance of like investing in yourself and going to workshops to learn from the best, in which they invest to learn from the best as well. You know, that's the power of conferences and workshops.
Yeah, exactly. And like, if you're interested in freelancing and if you don't have their book, you're doing it wrong. You need to get their book. I was reading through it and I was like, this is amazing. This is all the stuff I wish I would have known 3 years ago when I started. I mean, there's still stuff that I learned through it, but a lot of it was very validating to be like, okay, I am on the right track because these women that I look up to are doing this and have written the book on it. And I'm like nodding my head along with everything I read. So that makes me feel like, okay, I'm doing it right. I'm on the right path. I'm not too old to be doing this.
You haven't even hit your prime yet.
They're killing it. And like they're in their 30s and I'm like, okay, I haven't hit 30 yet. I'm almost there, but I'm like,
honestly, they were probably exactly in your same shoes of where you are right now at the same age as you, you know, like
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're on your way there.
I definitely feel the pressure.
Good, you should. That's good. Put your feet to the fire. It's good for us. You got to be challenged, right? And for those who don't know, we're talking about freelance and business and stuff. It's the book by the Hoodsfoot Twins. It is in the show notes. I want to talk about a little bit about social media because you are really, I think your strength is curation.
Oh, interesting.
How has curating your account been important to you? Especially because you've done a spinoff account too, I believe. I was just doing some research before this, Tactile Type. You know, what's your goal with social media? How do you show a little bit of yourself in there, yet still I'm trying to attract work? You know, is social media a tool for you?
Yeah, it definitely is. I wish I could say I know everything about social media and I have it under wraps, but I struggle with it every day. And I think if anybody that's like followed along with my like multiple accounts and like how I will like archive things and then reveal things again. And like, I'm so all over the place where I don't know. I have no idea. Like I thought I did. I have a really not unhealthy because I'm trying to find a healthy relationship with it.
Let's talk about the unhealthy relationship because I'd lay it on the line with mine too.
So unhealthy relationship in the fact. So, okay, a little bit of a story time. Four or five years ago when I started Instagram, it was a very personal thing for me. I had just gotten out of college and started taking pictures with a film camera. That was the only camera I had. I got it for free from a friend, just kind of playing around with it. I thought it was cool. I was taking like fog shots in the Pacific Northwest on film, and I was getting a lot of likes for them. And I was like, ooh, this is fun. I'm meeting people from all over the US, like meeting, you know, like through Instagram.
Engaging.
Yeah. And so I was like making these like weird internet friends through photography, and I was sharing personal stuff. And so that's kind of what became my relationship with social media, because that's how I started it. Well, not social media, with Instagram specifically.
Same. You're basically telling me my story right now. So please continue.
Oh my gosh. Like if I post these pretty pictures that I've worked really hard to make on my film camera, because film is hard. If you have, you know, a manual camera and you don't have a light meter that works, like you have to figure it out. And so I was really proud of that. And I was sharing personal struggles with mental health and ending up meeting people in real life here in Minneapolis, through me sharing those personal stories. And so that became, it was very like, reaffirming to have that kind of relationship with Instagram because it just kept on feeding into itself. I was making positive connections through putting myself out there. But then fast forward a little bit, I meet a guy through Instagram.
Real quick, can I stop you? What do you mean by you're sharing, like you're just opening up, vulnerability sharing, or just telling your life story kind of things?
No, just like sharing like day to day, example, when I left my UX job, mainly for mental health reasons, it wasn't like I'm going to leave UX so I can go do lettering. I was struggling. I didn't sleep. I have insomnia. That's just a part of my life. It's under control for the most part right now. But it's taken like 4 years. But when it first started happening to me, I was working way too much. I was taking on the role of a creative director as a junior designer in my company.
That's a big jump.
Yeah. Like, so the creative director left and then they didn't replace him. And I was the only other designer. So I just kind of, I was introduced as creative director in a client meeting without my knowledge. I was like, okay, hi, yeah, I'm a creative director.
What's up?
At like 24, that's not cool. yeah. So when that happened, I was struggling to sleep because I wasn't eating well, I wasn't working out, and I was working too much and I was stressed out. So I got to a point where I didn't sleep for 6 days and I was hallucinating. And suicidal thoughts were like every day, like multiple times a day. And it was just very logical and normal for me. And it got to a point where like I was seeing like things jump out of trees at me while I was walking to work. I was like, and I started bawling on the sidewalk walking to work. And I was like, I can't do this anymore. I don't know what's wrong with me, but I need to go to the doctor. So I called in sick to work, went to the doctor, and I thought that there was something not wrong with my mind. I thought there was something wrong with my body. Cause that's like, you know, cause you don't want to admit that, like, oh, there's something wrong with my brain.
I'm crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, there's a pattern of mental illness in my family. And so I just didn't want to admit that. And so I get to the doctor and she has me fill out the anxiety, depression form. And I was like, no, I just have insomnia. And she's like, no, you're very depressed and you have like extreme anxiety. And cause I was just like the way I was talking to her about stuff. And she's like, I don't want to give you career advice cause I'm a doctor, but I don't think you should be working where you're working right now. I don't know what that's going to take, but have you tried talking to your employer? I'm like, yeah, I've tried. Cause he kept on dodging my meetings. He would come up to me last minute, be like, oh, sorry, I got to take this other thing. That was happening for weeks. And so I just went up to him. I was like, I have to quit. Within 2 weeks, I can stay as long as you need me to. But if I could have it my way, I would leave today.
So all of this, how did then you put this into your social media of sharing things, and then what made you get out of it? And now it feels like you're really getting back into it.
Yeah. So all of that was happening, and I was sharing, not when it was happening, but after it happened, I was sharing part of that story and
like how you're responding to it all.
Yeah. And like that I was getting put on medication, and I didn't share too many details about like, this medication made me want to kill myself.
Yeah.
So I'm not taking it. But I did a piece that said, fuck meds. Cause I was just so angry because I was like, I can't do this anymore. I don't feel like myself. If this means that I have to be that like stereotypical, like introverted, creative person that has like mood swings, I guess like I would rather have extreme ups and downs than be just vanilla, which vanilla is great, but not in mood. Vanilla mood is not fun.
No,
it's just
I
like,
get it.
I don't want to be that. So I was like, you know what? I'm done. I'm not taking meds anymore. And so I started taking exercise and diet more seriously. And that honestly, for me, I'm not a doctor. Don't take my medical advice. If your doctor's like, you know, you need to be on meds, that's fine. But for me, because I have a really sensitive stomach too, so I didn't really want to deal with that anymore. I started taking working out and
more self-help medication.
Yeah, like, because when those rhythms are working as they're naturally supposed to, you're more likely to succeed. It's not going to fix it, but it's going to help.
Agreed.
Because you can't just take medication and eat poorly and never work out and never go outside and not talk to people and not have relationships. Cause that's really what, like all of those things, when they're not working as normal as they're supposed to be, then you're left with, even if you didn't have a mental illness, you would still be unhappy.
Feel so, like a turd. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's those things for me have really helped. And I was sharing a lot of that on my social media. And so I thought, okay, like this is a good thing. Me sharing everything about myself, including relationships. I started dating a guy that was also very into Instagram, and we both like just took it to a whole other level that I was so unhealthy. It was really gross. We're like, we would spend hours every evening in comment pods on the couch next to each other. We lived together, so it didn't make it any better. We would just sit there and like work on our engagement. It was so gross. And so when that relationship ended, it ended via cheating, which was also public because he was very public about his life and I was very public about my life. And so when that happened, it like all just crumbled down on me because I was like, this is so embarrassing. He is now seeing this other girl and posting about her on his social media. And here I am like all like used up and tossed aside. And I felt like because everyone knew what was going on, it was way worse than just getting cheated on and left and replaced.
did you just kind of shell up then from social media aspect, or how did you approach things from there?
Yeah, and I'm like still working on that. Like I share things very consciously, things that are personal, but it scares me every time I start to be personal again because of what happened with that, because I was so open and then I just got trampled. Cause then people I didn't even know were messaging me being like, did you like, who is this girl? Cause you guys were just together like a week ago. Like, I know. Like it was hard enough to deal with it on my own, but then I had strangers messaging me, which was weird because like, I don't have like an insane amount of followers, but around Minneapolis, it's like, that's majority of my followers are from here.
Yeah. Local.
And so, yeah. So people would see me in person and they would talk about it. Cause they didn't know what else to talk about. They're like, oh, so how are you doing with that? It's like, yeah, I just wish that wasn't a thing. You know, I wanted it to like move on. And so, yeah, that was really hard. So I'm still trying to figure out the balance between personal details that I share. It is hard because also social media has changed, since I started doing that. So it's changed in like in the past 2 years, even since that happened.
In the last 6 months.
Yeah. Like, I don't know what to do about it. Cause I feel like in order to be seen and have high engagement on Instagram, you have to post stories multiple times a day. You have to post every day.
You basically have to play by their rules, use the new features that they put out to play in the favor.
Yeah. And it sucks because it's like when you're working on something that takes a lot of time and craft, you can't be putting out content every day. Like, you need to focus.
Especially if you're under an NDA.
Yeah. And it's just, it's really discouraging because it makes me feel like, well, I'm not making enough. It plays into the imposter syndrome of like, well, I'd be doing better if I were more like X, Y, Z. And I know that in my head, I know it logically that it's like, no, this all is a stupid game. It's all just social media. I'm fine. But those thoughts do creep in and then you have to push them out and it's this constant game.
It's just a whole brewing pot for comparison. When I see someone with hundreds and thousands of followers, they're posting content nonstop. I'm like, yo, I got a day job. I can barely keep up with shit.
You got a kid now.
I got a kid. Yeah.
Yeah.
And for me, it's hard to like, there's this fine line between this is a tool and this also measures self-worth, you know, and I used to cross that line too much. And that's like a dangerous area. And I think a lot of listeners get stuck in that comparison. And if their shit doesn't take off, then it reflects poorly on them and their identity when like what you do doesn't define who you are.
Yeah.
And that's the area I used to get into.
Yeah. It's weird. Cause I was like hovering around 10.2 and then now I'm like deep into 10.1 again. Because for like a couple weeks ago, when the Kavanaugh stuff was happening,
yeah.
I was very vocal about my opinions.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't posting like constantly, but I was like, I have a very solid stance on that.
And I believe we need to use our platforms for our voices. And yeah. If it offends people, it's just getting the right the wrong people off the bus and it keeps the right people on the bus. So
exactly. So that's how I feel about it. Like at first I was like, oh my gosh, I'm losing followers. And like people are upset. But like, no, I don't want them looking at my stuff anyways. I don't want people that are like, even if not even the ones that were like in my face about it, because those people, yeah, they can go to hell. I don't care. Like, yeah, go away.
They're not your audience anyway.
Don't attack my, yeah, because I got like some harassing stuff happen from that. Oh, my agent got contacted by a guy that was mad that I didn't respond to him. I just didn't respond to him after telling him I'm not talking to you anymore because this has been too painful. I told him that a couple times and then he went to my dog account and called my dog a racist.
Oh God, you don't owe anybody anything.
And then he took it so far to contact my rep and I was like, oh my God.
Dude, there's the world of trolls. Like I'm learning the more the people who criticize the most are the ones who aren't in the arena, putting themselves out there, creating, you know, they're consumers, they're judgers, and they want to pull other people down to be on their level because they don't have the nuts or balls or whatever it takes to put themselves out there. So the biggest critics are the ones who aren't creating.
Yep. Yeah. So it was just kind of like a wow. And I had known this guy for a couple of years, like through the internet, but not, you know, not in person, but it's kind of like, wow. Okay,
man, we're getting real here. I like this. Okay, before we go into rapid fire questions, then, this is one I like to ask everybody every time. What's one piece of advice you'd give to a creative at any stage of life who struggles starting or sticking with it?
Don't listen to anyone's advice. Listen to your gut. Listen to yourself. I wish someone would tell me that a long time ago, because I'm like constantly looking for other people's approval and what do you think I should do? What it's like, no, like just look to yourself. What do you feel? Because that's going to be the right choice anyways. Because if you don't feel right about something, you're not going to do your best at it. I know that's like a really generalized statement, but with the big picture items, like obviously like going to work every day, like it doesn't feel fun to go, but like with bigger moves, like I think you had an issue with not knowing if you should go speak at a conference, right?
Yeah, I went with my gut and it was the best decision. I went against logic. And so many of us are looking for those external permission slips when really the permission slip we need comes internally.
Yeah.
Once you realize that, I still got to run things through the wife. I got to communicate. I do. But there's other times it's like, man, my gut is telling me something and I used to not act on it. So that's a huge piece of advice. If your gut's telling you, hey, you need a blog, but you're scared of it, then that's also a cue. You know, you should be doing this. That means you have a message to share. Or same thing with speaking or photography or getting into freelance. You know, if you're feeling like an imposter, you're on the right path. I truly believe that statement. Let's jump into rapid fire question. All right. You ready to go?
Yeah.
If you were on death row, what would your last slice of pizza be?
Oh my God. Oh, this is so hard. No, I know these questions are coming up. This is tough. Buffalo chicken.
From who? Anywhere?
Oh my God. Can I make it at home?
You can make it's what it's your world. You're on death row.
Make it. Yeah. Well, whatever. I'll make it.
Okay. What type of work makes you feel most alive? This is a new one. I've never asked anyone that.
Oh, I mean, the fact that I get to do what I do, like every time I start a new job, I'm like
food typography.
Yeah. I mean, anything lettering, because that's what I wanted to do when I was in college and I thought it was a pipe dream. So whenever I get to do lettering for work, I'm like, hell yeah, this is awesome.
All right. What's one of your dreams or goals that's so big it scares you?
My idea of being a New York advertising person. That's what I thought I was going to be. But now I don't think I want that anymore.
What do you want?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. I think I might be the mountain girl that has a hobby farm and like just doesn't wash her hair.
Damn hippies.
I think
hippies.
That's what I'm becoming now. Like I have stopped washing my hair. I only use apple cider vinegar now. So it's like, I'm on my way and I have a mountain dog now, Bernie's mountain dog. So I'm like, it's starting to happen. I don't know. That's my, like my dream is that I don't know what my dream is anymore. It's all crumbling in front of me. So I have to reassess.
That's good though. It's a new chapter in your life. It's a season. Good. Hopefully this is putting things in perspective and planting some seeds. Perfect. Yeah. I'm catching off guard with some of these. Okay. If you could have lunch with one person dead or alive, who would it be and why?
Jim Carrey. Hands down. Oh my God. Cause he's like, the perfect blend of funny and deep.
Philosophical, for sure.
Yeah, like you would never be bored with him. Because if he got bored, he'd entertain himself.
Oh, for sure. Okay, that was great. Right off the top. Where do you seek your inspiration online and offline?
I need to find new sources of inspiration online because I've been using Designspiration for years and that's just a habit. And I think it's kind of getting dried up. Actually, Elo has been really cool lately. People I would never connect with. I've been finding.
So people are actually using that platform? I've never checked it out.
They feature really interesting artists that I would never have learned about before.
I know Scott Biersack is big on Elo.
Yeah. So Instagram kind of silos you into like, oh, you like this. So you want to see more of that, right? It's like Elo is like, oh, you're this, but here's a different category of art that you would not know of. Cool. And they send out emails to like, I mean, not like normal newsletters, but it's like a, hey, your friend submitted their work for this contest. You should go support them. Like, oh, like it's actually community based. Yeah. So that's where I've been finding inspiration lately.
What about offline?
Offline, lately taking my dog for walks. It's been really inspiring just to like meet other people. And because when you have a cute puppy, everyone wants to talk to you.
This is your moment where you can plug your dog's Instagram account.
Yes. Kyle the Pupper. He's a Bernedoodle and he's the sweetest little boy. He's so cute.
And I can see him in the background right now.
He loves snuggles.
Sup, dog? Okay.
He's only 13 weeks.
He's a baby. He's older than my son right now.
Yeah. And he's 30 pounds.
Dang.
Big. His paws are bigger than my palm right now.
Script serif or sans serif?
Serif.
Serif?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have guessed that. But I guess you kind of got those funky serifs on your wall back behind you too. So.
Because serifs are like with this mural, I used the serifs as like the only thing that indicates what the letter is.
Yeah.
That's why it's hard to read, because that was intentional. But just highlighting the subtlety of serifs.
Cool.
Without serifs, these would just be bars.
Where can people go to follow and support you online?
You can go to ariwoeste.com, ariwoeste, or Instagram, same, ariwoeste. And then you can find my Kyle at Kyle the Puffer.
And what's the other account for your tactile type?
That's type IRL.
Type in real life?
Yeah. Some people think it's type girl, but there's no G. It's type IRL.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for opening up, sharing your story, sharing things you struggle with, sharing pricing, being an open book, more transparent than a freshly Windex window. I can tell you, I already know people are really going to appreciate this one. So thank you so much for your time.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks for having me.
Go have fun walking your dog.
I will.
All right. I'll be in touch.
Okay.
All right. Peace. PC family, I bring to you Ari Westy. I absolutely love her transparency and her modesty, and I love how she uses her platform to use her voice to speak up for those who don't necessarily have a platform for themselves. In my mind, I have no doubt she's going to be a future superstar in the making as she starts to put these pieces of the puzzle together, and she just has a bright career ahead of her, so you know the drill. If you found value in today's episode, reach out to Ari and show her some love by letting her know what your biggest takeaway was. Thanks, Ari. We sincerely appreciate your time today and you opening up and sharing your story. You are awesome. Moving on to the listener of the week. And today's listener of the week shout out goes to Emily Rose Artistry, and she titled this one Dynamite Podcast. Emily states, Scotty is a guy filled with passion and inspiration. It's easily noticed that he puts a lot of time and energy into his podcast for his listeners to get the best experience he can provide. True that. Each episode is filled with killer wisdom and advice, and it's really just an incredible opportunity for other creative people to gather and gain wisdom in their own endeavors. Stellar podcast. If you don't know about Emily, Emily is become a very good friend of mine. She actually lived in Iowa, but we never really knew each other. Then she moved away, and then we connected through Instagram. She's an incredible painter of animal portraits and landscape scenery, and she dabbles in a little bit of hand lettering on the side too. So definitely check her out at Emily Rose Artistry. Thanks so much for taking the time to leave a rating and review. And if you want a chance to be a listener of the week here and get a mention, not only in the show notes, but the newsletter as well, all you have to do is subscribe and leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or iTunes, if you still call it that. And as I wrap things up, I want to give a huge thanks to my podcast editor, Anya Brennan, all the way from Ireland, who makes this sound so damn good. And my executive assistant, Paige Garland. I could not do this without you two ladies. And a huge thanks goes out to Bluka for all the dope theme music you hear on this show. Check them out at SoundCloud, Spotify, and Instagram at Bluka. That's B-L-O-O-K-A-H. And as you finish off your week strong, I want to continue to encourage you to keep showing up, keep putting in the work, and keep creating. You got this.